I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to speak today. It is a privilege. I know a lot of time we think that that's just a convention of preachers when they say it's a privilege, but I want you to know from my heart it is a privilege to speak before people who probably have been in the church longer than I have, and probably know more than I do, but it is a privilege to encourage them to stay in the faith and keep on keeping on. And if there's any here that does not understand what I'm about to present, then I am so glad that I am able to instruct you. But right now, we're going to work with our topic that was given us, and that is the priority of prayer. And I looked at the word priority, and it should be talking about that which is first, prior, and then T-Y lets me know that it is the entity of first or for or before. And so we're going to be looking at the priority of prayer. Now, the first thing that I'd like for us to consider is in Acts 2 and 42, where our theme is taken from. We find that they were doing some things, and one of them listed was prayer. And so we want to talk about the priority of prayer. And I'd like for you to consider something that happened back in Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And if you'll notice what he did, he took bread and he blessed it. Of course, we're talking about prayer. And then he gave it to them and explained what it was all about. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And then they shared that. You know what I see in that? We don't take the Lord's Supper before we pray. Prayer is the priority when it comes time to have the Lord's Supper. The vision of God is when he looks way down in here in the year 2020, he's going to see us praying before we partake of the Lord's Supper. We don't know everything that is said in prayer, but it is one thing that I constantly pray about, and that is, allow me to do what the Bible called for, and that is to take it worthily. You know, L-Y is talking about how you do it. And it's not talking about whether you're worthy or not. I can tell you right now, you're not. But to take it worthily is to discern the body of Christ. And so, in my prayer, I want God to help me to discern the body of Christ. I am now with my fellow saints. We're all gathered together, and the head of this body is with us, and we all are partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And that in my prayer, please don't let me be like what was mentioned in the Corinthian letter, and that is eating unworthily, having my mind on something else. I'm so glad that I started off with the Pleasant Valley congregation. They had great elders there and all, and I learned that when you partake of the Lord's Supper, they say, have your mind on Christ. Have your mind on the cross. And so I endeavor to do that every time. And all of that is because we prayed first. And a person who would pray about that, he asked God to help them to eat and drink worthily. And so as I move on, I do want to let you know that over there in James 4 and 2, he says, you have not because you ask not. That's something. Look at the priority there. You jump out there and you try to do something without consulting God. You say, well, I got plenty of money. If anything happens, I'll just write a check. I got plenty of health and strength. I feel good today. I'm going to jump out there and do that. But that's not the priority. The priority is ask. How do you do that? You do that in prayer. And so regardless to what I attempt to do, I always pray first. On my way here, I pray that I get here safely and on time. Oh, yes, I have an automobile that has never failed me. I have an understanding of the roads. I've been driving since I was 15 years old. Finally got my license when I was 16. But that doesn't matter if God is not with me. Those people who would T-bone me, I think that's what they say, wishbone me or whatever, you know. God says not right now. Yeah. Those who would go down the wrong side of the road and hit me head on, God says no, not right now. All because I'm doing it right. I petition him first before I try to do anything else. And so he says, you have not because you ask not. He says, you fight and war and scratch and bite, you know. Right now I'm retired, so I don't have to worry about climbing up the ladder or anything like that. But there's people who will do anything to you in order to get a position a little higher. God says, you do stuff like that, and you don't get anywhere. If you want to get somewhere, if you want to move on up the ladder and everything, pray about it. Yes, that's priority there. You know, I've heard people say, well, I went to do such and such thing, but all I could do was pray for them. Hey, that's the big guns. I can understand it if you say, well, all I could do after prayer was lotion him or leave such and such. Yeah, that's all right. But when you say all you could do was pray, yeah, that's the big guns. Yes, you do that first. Pray about it. If you're going to go visit the sick, pray about it. Yes. And when you get there, you already prayed. Pray again. Yes, let them know what you're doing. And then we find over there in 1 Thessalonians, we find that he says, pray without ceasing. You know, sometime a person will say, well, I prayed about it. Hey, there should be an ing on the end of that. Has it come to pass? Well, you think just one prayer is going to do it? That's not what God says. He said, pray without ceasing. And in another place, he says, when he was doing a parable, he says, I'm giving this parable so that men will know to pray always and faint not. You don't give up. God got his own time to answer your prayer. Yeah. Don't rush him. Don't put him into that. Well, if it's not answered by Thursday, I'm just going to say that God ain't going to do anything. No, no. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean for you to just spend your whole day doing it. No, what he means is don't give up. Don't give up on what you're praying about. Because I'm constant. My wife had her stroke in 16. I'm still praying about her. Yeah. Different people say, well, she had a stroke that long, such and such. I'm still talking to God about it. Yeah. Her therapist said that, well, she'll never be able to chew food. We'll have to keep a tube in her. Yeah. We kept praying. Long about another week or two after all of the therapists gave up on her and stuff like that, she started chewing like a cow. I called the therapist back. I said, she's chewing like a cow. Yes, sir. You know what happened there? God says, I'm not going to let you think it was a therapist. I'm going to let you think that it was because you petitioned me. Because I just didn't like that food tube in her stomach there. I didn't like that at all. So I just kept praying about that. So I just want you to know that you don't give up on what you're praying about. Yeah. And then I want you to look at Mark 1 and verses 35. Here we find a priority in Jesus' ministry. The scripture says that he got up a great while before day and prayed. The disciples came to find him. They say, Master, don't you know everybody looking for you? He said, let's go into the next town because that's my ministry. The point there is, I'm not wasting time praying here. I'm getting ready for what I'm fixing to do. But Jesus made prayer priority. And of course, we need to do the same thing. When he washed their feet, he said, do you see what I did? He said, well, that's an example for you. And so him getting up and before he did anything else praying, that's an example for me. Get up. Thank the Lord. Now, some of you are in the same boat I am. When I get up, I have to go straight to the bathroom. Yeah, God understand. But then as soon as I can, I'll petition him. Yeah. So don't feel bad if the first thing you get up, you can do that. But there was a time when I could do that. Slide out of bed on my knees and thank him. But now it's on my feet, go. Yeah. So don't feel bad if you're in that shape. Yeah. I'm just glad that God's put me on my feet to go do something. And I always mention that. I always mention how much he has done for me, and I ask him to continue that. Yeah. I don't rely on doctor's medicine or any of that. I rely on him, and of course, he's the one that sent the doctor. He's the one that allowed the medication and all like that. But what's my priority? To ask him for good health. Ask him for safety. That's my priority. And then everything else will just fall in place, you know. That's because I've already done first things first. And then we find over there in Philippians 4, we find, first of all, Paul. And I don't know if any of us could be as enthusiastic as Paul after going through all of the problems he went through. And then one thing he said, and false brethren. I would imagine that's about the hardest thing you could go through. But in all of that, you know what he said? He said, rejoice in the Lord. Then he thought he ought to repeat himself. Rejoice in the Lord. But then he lets us know what's priority. He says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious. Don't get all up in a lather and all like that. I don't care what's happening. He said, let your moderation appear before all men. Let everybody see. I don't care who's falling apart and everything else. Let everybody see that you are in moderation. Well, what does that mean, Brother Johnson? That means that you're not getting bent out of shape. You are concerned about the seriousness of it, but they don't have to throw cold water on you or calm you back down and all like that. Why is that? He says, because the Lord is at hand. How do you know that? I asked him to be there. He says, make your request known with supplication and thanksgiving. Now, some people forget about the thanksgiving. They just say, Lord, do this, do that, do that. You need supplication. What is that, Brother Johnson? That's a lower person talking to somebody higher. Always keep that in your mind. You always address him and keep him in mind that he's so much higher than you. He's so much magnificent. I'm going to be watching you, brother, because I didn't bring my watch. And when I get out on the five, you do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he lets us know that we are to be careful for nothing. But everything else, he says, pray about it. And then he says, after you do all of that, he says, the peace of God will keep your heart. What are you worried about? Whatever you're worried about and can't do anything about it, why do you keep worrying about that? You let God know what you're concerned about and go on about your business doing what you can. And God will take care of everything that you can't take care of. I learned that by the scripture, and I also learned that by just plain doing. There's been situations come up, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even see any out. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see anything, but I'm going to pray about this. And next thing you know, just like Paul said, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you could even think about, not alone ask. Oh, yes. Prayer, that's a beautiful thing. I tell the church, I say, you know, when we get to the point to where we are extending the invitation for those who have perhaps left Christ or they are doing worldly things and all like that, you know. I say that the scripture says, confess our faults one to another, but, you know, we're not mind readers. We don't know what to pray about. Let us know in prayer. But the main thing I let them know, and that is, there is power in the church. There is power in the church. You go into the right thing when you go to the church. And then we find that James 5, verses 13 to 18, I find that God talks about the kind of prayer that we can have. I call it the if any prayer. If any of you are sick, well, first he said, if any of you afflicted, let him pray. And I had to look that word up because I wanted to know whether I was afflicted. But he says, that's talking about any kind of trouble coming your way. He said, let him pray. That's priority. I know you're going to do something about it. If something is bothering you, you're going to do something about it. But he says, if any afflicted, let him pray. Yeah. Then he says, if any is merry, let him sing psalms. Well, that's about as close to prayer, set to music, as it can be. When you, I just enjoy singing the way we sing, because the message of the song comes to you. And he says, make that melody in your heart. Let God hear from you. All of that's coming out of your mouth. Your brothers and your sisters will get benefit of that. But God is a heart reader. See, you can't do that. You can't read my heart. But that's why he say, make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Though sometimes people are so concerned about how it came out of their mouth. We got people to sing off key, whatever key is, and everything else. Some are louder than the others and all like that. That doesn't matter to me. I want to know, did you get that word? Why? Because when you utter up things to God, to me, that's just another prayer that's put to music, and I'm talking about the voice music. Yeah. And so he says, if any commit sin, it'll be forgiven him. If any sick, he'll raise him up. Then he says, those that are sick, he says, send for the elders and let them pray. Notice that. And then he says, anointing them with oil. You know, some people actually thought that there's going to be some benefit spiritually of rubbing oil on somebody. That's what they did back then. Today, nobody wants olive oil on them, but they will take lotion. Just about every day when I give my wife a bath, I lotion her down. Yeah. But there's nothing in the lotion except love. But the main thing is pray for her. Pray for her. Because God says that you don't get it because you don't pray about it. And so when the elders come and they pray, when they pray, here's what God says. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effective. That's a prayer that we have considered all of the protocol. We're going to address God the way we should. We're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to give thanks and all like that. All of that's effectual. But then, fervent. If anybody is going to be a fervent care of the congregation and the members, is going to be the eldership. Why? That's their first qualification. They want to make sure that the congregation is headed in the right direction. So who are you going to call? You're going to call somebody who has God's people interests at heart. And if that be the case, he says he can get a lot out of me. And then I find that he lets us know that we don't have to have a degree in prayer. He says that Elijah was of a passion as we are. Elijah, somebody that messes up, somebody that misunderstands things at times, He said, I don't want to die. He said, oh, I ain't got nobody else but me. It's just me. God said, get you some breakfast. I got something else for you to do. And by the way, I got a whole lot more prophets than what you're talking about. And so, he's that kind of person, but he could pray. Well, what can you tell us about it, Lord? Having that kind of man, what can he accomplish? Say, well, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. For over half a year, it didn't do it. And then when everything was ready for him to pray again, he said, he prayed again, and it rained. Well, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? I'm trying to tell you that if you lack passion, you can get things done. You don't have to be super Christian to get things done. Just be a fervent, righteous person. Yeah. And righteousness does not mean that you're going to be God in the flesh. We already had God in the flesh. We're not going to make another one. Yes. You're going to make mistakes. That's why we have the blood of Christ cleansing us. I have detergent at home. I got a beautiful washing machine. I mean, it works wonderful. Everything. You just put your detergent in and put your softener in, close it, punch something, and go. None of that standing there watching it agitate, and then when you think it's ready, running through the ringer. No, none of that. No rub oil or any of that. But you know the reason why I got that? Even though my clothes are clean and immaculate when I buy them, I know one thing, and that is I don't care how hard I try, I'm going to get it dirty. That's just part of being out here in this world. I don't try to do it. I don't blame the clothes. I don't blame myself unless I do something stupid. And, of course, I'll blame myself for a while. But the thing is, I put it in the washing machine with the detergent. That's the same way it is with God. Mess up? Pray about it. Keep messing up? Go to the church. Ask them to pray with you. Confess our faults one to another. And let that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. One thing I like about the assembly of God's people is there's got to be at least one righteous man there. Yeah. And if one righteous man can avail as much, can you imagine 2 or 3? 10? Oh, I got it made. I'm going to tell these folk. Yeah. Some people say, well, I ain't going to get up and let everybody know. We already know. We already know that you mess up because God told us that. Yes. God told us that before the world began, that he put in a plan of salvation. That's why I just enjoy reading Ephesians 1. It tells us everything that God put in place for us before he even made anything. Somebody want to know, did Adam and Eve catch him off guard? Did he have to go back to the drawing board? No. Everything was planned out before he made anything. You were going to be saved through the beloved. All of that was put together. God knew about all of that. And I'm so glad that he gave us the one thing that we could always depend on, and that is prayer. Go to him in prayer. And I'd like for you to look at something else. You know, we're getting into the season where you start throwing barbs at each other. You know, we've gotten past the iron board. I'm bold, but we're now getting into the election session. And you got two major parties and all like that. You know what God says about that? God said, pray for everybody. Pray for the king. You might not like who's governor. You might not like who's commissioner. You might not like who's president or whatever. It's not about you. It's what God wants. Pray. Pray for him. Yes. Because it is God who sets them up. Romans 13 tells us that they serve at his command. They are his servants. And so we're going to pray to the master of the government people. Pray for them. And then I'll leave you with this. Matthew 21, verses 21 to 22. He says that when you pray, have faith. Faith that God, if it's in the will of God, he's going to do it. You know, in the Old Testament, he showed us to what extent he would go. He parted water when the disciples were upset about how the sea was going, and these were experienced fishermen. They went over there. They said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? He got up, rebuked them, because they should have known that we got a mission. And you're right here with the person that can stop it. Then he got up and he told the wind and the sea, he said, shut up. And there it was. You're with the master. And he said, here's the thing. He said, if you pray and doubt not, he said, you can tell that mountain. Now, he didn't talk about a hill. You can take that mountain and tell him to get over there. Well, of course you're not going to do that because that's not in the will of God. But what he's trying to tell us, and that is, you got power in prayer. And you got enough power to move a mountain in prayer and faith. Thank you for your attention. I'm so glad that they gave me my favorite subject to talk on, and I appreciate every one of you, and I appreciate the lectureship committee. Thank you, and y'all be blessed.